Our reading now is from the Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 23. Hebrews 11 verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Here in verse 29 is the final mention of Moses in this passage, in connection with faith. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Moses is a great example of faith as he and the Israelites passed through the open waters of the Red Sea, which afterwards closed upon and drowned the Egyptians. Last time we considered that never to be forgotten night, the Passover and the Exodus from Egypt. And that was a wonderful deliverance. In Exodus 13, verse 14, we read, "By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage." They were free at last, and now they had the prospect of the promised land. It's a picture of conversion, about redemption by the blood of Christ that frees us from the guilt of our sin and sets us free to belong to God and puts us on the road that will lead us to heaven, the promised land. But soon after this glorious deliverance, they found themselves facing a terrible trial and obstacle. The waters of the Red Sea, and it became an unexpected crisis. So soon after the wonderful redemption and deliverance, and now they were the Lord's people, and yet now they are in terrible straits. And Moses' behavior here, and afterwards the Israelites' behavior, are a great example of faith, outstanding and instructive. And I want us to consider this now and see how that this most unexpected and unwelcome thing, God overruled to make it such a glorious thing for the people, and such a glory to his name. It's ever the way, isn't it, dear friends? The things that we dread the most become the thing that blesses us the most and gives God the greatest glory, if we meet these things by faith. Well, what does this teach us? Let's look, first of all, at faith challenged. The Red Sea. Soon after their freedom, not long into their journey. Exodus 13, verse 10, the account of it. The children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. We know the account from Exodus, how that Pharaoh changed his mind, regretted being forced to let the people of Israel go free. And he quickly mustered an elite force of 600 chariots and many others. And they were on their way to either recapture the Israelites or kill them. And the Israelites, of course, were in an impossibly dangerous, critical situation. The Red Sea blocked their way. They couldn't turn up to either side because that was the open wilderness. They would be overtaken there. They certainly couldn't go back. And so they were boxed in, and the situation looked hopeless. If they were free from Egypt, they were not free from trouble. And this answers to what new Christians often experience. Did we think when we were converted and the greatest problem in our lives was solved, that we were saved from sin and hell and we were right with God and the beginning of the Christian life? And now no more trouble, no more problems. Only to find that it's far otherwise. The greatest problem God has solved, but it's led to other problems, other troubles, other struggles and challenges that we never had before we were Christians. And sometimes this really does become a problem to new Christians. That's why God has put us in the church, so that there's the preaching of the word that addresses these things and helps us with them. And that's why he's given us fellow Christians who will tell us that this is not strange, that this is quite typical, and we can encourage one another in these things. And like the Israelites and their leader Moses, find that they're overruled to greater good. Well, this stands then, as I say, for an impossible situation for the people here. No way of escape, no solution available. Sometimes life is like that. Among the various difficulties and obstacles, problems, there can be one great thing that is greater than them all. And how are we going to be helped now with this thing? And it's urgent. In the case of the Israelites, the Egyptians were pursuing them and they're closing in on them, and time was running out. It was of the essence. Something had to be done. They had to go somewhere. Some intervention was desperately needed. And not only that, but it was dark. We're told in Exodus 14, verse 20, all that night. And so you see, the darkness seemed to mirror the darkness of their situation inwardly, and it was a frightening thing. Now, of course, it was not like that for the enemy. The Red Sea, not a problem for the Egyptians. They had an advantage by that. What was impossible for the Israelites became the great thing that the Egyptians were going to exploit, and it was going to give them, as they thought, the victory. And so they had it all their own way. And you see, that's the reverse of what you might expect. The Lord's people were in straits. These heathen were having the upper hand, and all was going well for them. And that again is a problem for the Lord's people, isn't it? What the Bible calls the prosperity of the wicked. That God's people are harassed and surrounded by problems and difficulties, and yet these very same things don't happen to non-Christians, really. They have a much more straightforward and easier time of things. And sometimes even amongst the Lord's professed people, this thing happens. Things go better. for those who resort to worldly policy compared with those who honour the Lord. And that becomes a real difficulty. There are good Christians who have paid the price of their discipleship, and they've put God first, and things have happened that is a real struggle for them. Other Christians, professing Christians, they've compromised, they've accommodated, and they've escaped all these things, and it all goes well for them. And the faithful Christians look on. Bad enough when the wicked prosper. Can sometimes be harder when compromised Christians prosper. And that's, you see, why we have Psalm 37, verse 7, as a principle. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. It's not over yet. There will be a sequel. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The worst thing we can do, dear friends, is be fretful and question things and be tempted to be cynical. No. Rest. It's all in God's hands. You see, this, what was happening to the Israelites, was God's way for them. The Red Sea, they had not chosen this for themselves. They had not made it by their own folly. But God had directed them this way. And they were there in that crisis, but God was there. And in the confidence of Job 23, verse 14. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Notice two words there. What is appointed for me, but God performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Not just his purpose that this thing be as it is at the moment, but God is working. He's performing. He's having his way through this very thing. And so, if the Lord is with me in it, if he's over this, he's having his way and all is well. Better to be in straits with God than in an easy place without him. Matthew Henry put it like this: if God himself bring his people into straits, he will himself discover a way to bring them out again. You need never worry. Everything that happens is under God's hand. And the deliverance, the solution, all is with him. But faith is challenged, isn't it, by these things? But faith wouldn't grow if it were not. Faith wouldn't prove the Lord if it were not. It's got to be challenged. Doesn't mean that anything is wrong. It means that everything is right, and the Lord is going to bless even more. Be encouraged, dear friend. Faith challenged. And then faith exercised, secondly. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Not at first, of course. In Exodus 14, in the account of it here, you've got what happened to begin with. Exodus 14, verses 10 and 11. And here again is a very typical thing. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes. The Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. Now that was good. That's an expression of faith, isn't it? When your problem and your danger drives you to cry to God for deliverance. That's good so far, but verse 11, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? The very next breath. It's extraordinary, isn't it? They pray, and then they complain. And that is so typical, I say, of ourselves, isn't it? From prayer to panic. A good reaction and a bad sequel. Have you found yourself doing that? You've gone on your knees and desperately prayed to God about a situation, and you've stood up, and the next person you've talked to, you've complained, and out comes all your anxiety. It's so with us. It can be easily like that. And a faint heart can be a greater problem than the trial, when we are not consistent in the exercise of faith. Well, Moses makes no reply to the people who chide him. Sometimes being a leader means it's impossible to please people, and you get criticized whatever you do. And so Moses says nothing, but he rather tells them it's a time to believe. And look, they had a strengthening word, and this is how it is we're helped to exercise faith. In verses 13 and 14, this is what Moses says to the people. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, that means the deliverance of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now the Lord must have told him to say these words, mustn't he? And they're words that quicken believing. And the Bible speaks about the hearing of faith. And when God's word comes to us, when we hear it preached to us, it greatly helps faith, because it tells us about God. And it assures us that God is gracious and faithful. It convinces us that God is able to help us. And it encourages us to put our trust in God. It's the great thing about the Word of God. It leads us to the God of the Word. That's why the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why God says the gospel of Christ must be preached. It's so that sinners can hear the good news and by that good news be led to trust in Jesus for their salvation. The hearing of faith. Well, listening to God like this, there's one greater than the Red Sea. There's one greater than their plight. And my dear friend, God comes to you in his word and says, I am able, I am willing, I am all you need. Put your trust in me, and I will help you. Look up and hear what God says. Don't listen to your own unbelieving thoughts and your own tendency to despair. Don't listen to those things. The devil will bring those to you, and they'll only bring you down. Listen to God and his word, and believe what he says. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Who do you want greater? Who made heaven and earth? If he's brought everything into being with his mere word of power, he can then help you and be sufficient for your needs. So faith exercised. And you see, there was only one way for faith to go here. And so Moses is led to say in verse 15, God says so, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now that seems a crazy thing to do, doesn't it? To go forward when the depths of the Red Sea are in front of you, and you're going to go into the water and be drowned. But that is the very problem. That's what's boxing them in. That's what's making the time run out as the Egyptians are bearing down upon them, and it's certain death. But go forward. And sometimes what the word says, sometimes the promises of God, the assurances of Scripture, they don't seem to make sense to us. And if we had figured this out and thought of a solution, it would have been different. But the thing is, you see, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Neither are his thoughts our thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. Neither his ways our ways. And we will inevitably get it wrong. When the Lord says, go forward, that's what they must do, and that's what faith will enable them to do. And so, what does this translate into, dear friends? Well, it translates into this, that we believe that in the greatest obstacle that confronts us, the believing thing to do is to go forward. In other words, just keep going. And just go into each new hour, into each new day, into each new week. Carry on. Keep on keeping on as a believing Christian and looking to God by faith. He has said that he will make the way somehow. And God could do that, couldn't he? No, God could have done anything regarding this Red Sea. He could have made it vanish so that there was nothing but dry surface there. Or he could have made all the Israelites walk on the water like the Lord did. He could have done that. But he chose instead to divide the waters of the Red Sea by that mighty miracle and open up the depths so that they stood high either side like walls and dried the ground so that the Israelites could walk through safely. Well, that's what he did. As Moses held up his rod, God sent the wind, which was only an outward sign of what was happening, and the power of God opened the waters of the Red Sea. And as they trustfully went forward at God's behest, the Lord made the way for them. And they found as they went forward, they could go forward. And the waters opened up and went forward and they went through. That was God's way. And faith was vindicated in this exercise, wasn't it? As John Owen puts it, faith will find a way through a Red Sea of difficulties under the call of God. Keep going, dear friend. You don't need to do anything different from what you've been doing. If you're believing and trusting and looking to the Lord, just go into tomorrow and wake up in the morning still with him, and his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Go with him tomorrow and go with him the next day, and you'll find that your Red Sea, whatever it is, will be dealt with by God. You'll be able to carry on. And now see how things are changed. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. As they went forward, the way was made. And that phrase, passed through, it's a word that speaks of a dignified procession. Because you see, there is a dignity about God's dealings with his people. There was no way in which they were fleeing slaves who were hurrying like a mob, almost stampeding and treading on each other to get through that passage that was made before the waters might close again. That would not have been honouring to God. They passed through. Because when God is in it, you go with dignity and poise and carry on carrying on. It's the same word as is used in Acts 16, verse 9. The Macedonian call, you remember, the man of Macedonia saying to Paul and to Silas and to Timothy, come over into Macedonia and help us. And so they got into the ship and they crossed over the sea and they landed on the shore, went to Philippi. And there is something very wonderful about a Christian who believes, quietly believes, trusts in the Lord with all his heart, and just quietly perseveres, knowing that everything is in God's hands. Nothing can be otherwise. Stand still and see the salvation or the deliverance, and then go forward, and you'll be more spectators than participants in the thing. The Lord sometimes takes things completely out of our hands, doesn't it? Doesn't he? And we are amazed at what the Lord has done, although we shouldn't be amazed. But how often in the crises of life we have found that God has come in for us. God has solved the problem. He's given the solution. He's made the way for us. And we can rejoice. A prayer is answered. And we exercised faith, and the Lord honored us for that. And you notice, see, in Exodus 14, verse 22, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Interesting now that as the waters of the Red Sea opened and parted, they stood upright and became two high walls. And what was the obstacle became their protection. And so the waters were either side of them, and they could go through, and the Egyptians couldn't cut across their path. They dare not. They were protected by these walls of water. And the Lord, dear friends, can turn things like this. What was an obstacle, a problem, a great fear and trouble, becomes our comfort and security when God answers prayer and when he comes in for us. And the point is, you see, they followed Moses' example by faith. They, Moses and the people. It seems that Moses was the first to go through, and he led them through between the walls of water. We get this in Isaiah 63 and verse 12, where there is this passing mention of what happened here. Isaiah 63 and verse 12. God that led them by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name, suggesting that Moses led them through by the power of God through the waters of the Red Sea. And so he was a great example to the Israelites. And you notice further, by faith, they. It doesn't say by faith the Israelites. It means the believing part of Israel. There were many among the Israelites who were merely outward Israelites and not Israelites indeed in their hearts. But there were within that great company, the nation, a believing company. And by faith, they, Moses and them, they passed through the waters of the Red Sea. And wasn't Moses an inspiration to these Israelites as they followed him? If they were perhaps a bit fearful about committing themselves to this dry surface now, this opening through these great waters of the Red Sea, Moses would go ahead and they would follow him. And dear friends, it's true, isn't it, that when we know this kind of thing ourselves, that God has answered our prayer and helped us in our straits and our difficulties. And when we share this with others, and when we say, the Lord really helped me there, the Lord answered my prayer. It was a difficult time, but I really felt God was with me. And I found that I was brought through. It wasn't easy, but I was brought through, and I've learned so much through the experience. And so you say, shared troubles strengthen our faith. And there's a real fellowship in it. by faith, they. You think of people like George Muller and Hudson Taylor, for instance, who in their particular line of work that God gave them, my, how they were shut up, weren't they, to the most urgent of needs. George Muller with his five orphanages and all those thousands of orphans to feed and clothe and the staff to pay. And how that no appeals for money were made, but it was all obtained by prayer to God. And sometimes he and the staff met and there wasn't enough food even for the breakfast for the orphans. And so they would kneel in prayer and they would cry to God together and trust him for the provision. And George Muller was like a Moses who led them through, and God opened the waters and God supplied the need. Wonderful stories of how there was a knock on the door, and the man, a baker with his cart loaded up with loaves, the wheel fell off and the cart tipped over and all the loaves fell off. He couldn't sell them now, but it was just outside the orphanage. And he knocked on the door. Would Mr. Muller like to use these loaves because I can't sell them? And they were the right amount to give the orphans a good breakfast. Dusted off a bit, they could be sliced up and given round. And you see how the Lord comes in. Hudson Taylor's another case with his work in China. How that he would kneel with his fellow workers and pray, and a sack of rice would come most amazingly, unexpectedly, following the example of faith. My dear friend, in your troubles, be sure to tell other Christians, I am in straits, but I'm praying. It is difficult, but I know the Lord is with me. Although it's hard now, I do believe the Lord will bring me through. And that's inspiring, encourages others to trust, and we'll find that it will be so. Faith exercised. And then finally, not only faith challenged and exercised, but faith vindicated. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. And there is the irony of it. That which the Egyptians thought was going to enable them to realize their purpose with the Israelites, that became the very instrument of their destruction. The Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And see what difference faith makes, you see, because the Egyptians stand for the world. Egypt stands for the world in the Bible. Those without faith, those having no hope without God in the world. Pharaoh stands for Satan, that tyrant, that cruel, cruel man who enslaves hapless victims. And there they are, the world and the devil, about to triumph over all these Israelites. And the way is opened for God's people, and they go through, and they think that they can follow, and that they can catch them up, and even overtake them and deal with them, even yet. But you see, they have no faith. They have no command to go forward at God's command and promise. And what is a glorious solution to God's people is a total disaster to these who are not God's people. Remember that when you're tempted to envy unbelievers who seem to do so well in this world, there will always be a sequel. There will be a time when things are not so good for them. And when they need the Lord, they won't have him. And your hope and comfort won't be theirs. I've lived long enough to see this. In my younger time, I've sometimes looked at unbelievers and seen how well things go. It's often like that when you're younger. And then comes middle life and changes. And then those very people may be tempted to envy them and wonder why perhaps the Lord deals with his people differently. Then they hit some piece of bad news. And then some catastrophe happens in their life or family. And then they're all at sixes and sevens. And they don't know what to do, where to go. And they've had it so well. And they've rested in a false security in all that's protected them and been so much a blessing and a help and a comfort to them. Now it's taken away. What have they got left? When we didn't have it, we had God and he helped us through and we were blessed. Now they don't have it. They haven't got God. And are in the midst of the deep waters. They've no hope. And as they try to do the same as the Israelites, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. The Lord was not with them, but against them. The Israelites were protected, but the Egyptians were not. And that seeming advantage and superiority turned into their total destruction. And we know that God commanded Moses to stretch forth his rod again, and the waters of the Red Sea closed, and the depth swallowed up all these chariots and horsemen, and they sank like a stone to the bottom and were drowned. And on the other shore, as the Israelites looked back, they saw bodies of Egyptians washed up on the shore, destroyed chariots, and their victory and deliverance was complete. But the triumph of the Egyptians was short. And it's a sure sign of judgment in their case. As someone has said, God infatuates those whom he intends to destroy. He fills them with a presumptuous confidence that they're going to prevail. And these poor, silly Christians, they're going to be trodden down. And they're going to lose and suffer. And all who want the destruction of the Lord's own people and the silencing of the gospel will be no better off than these Egyptians, assaying to cross the Red Sea and were drowned. In Job 20 and verse 5, the triumphing of the wicked is short. See how the Lord turns things right around for his people who trust in him. Ah, the psalmist sums it up in Psalm 78 and verse 53. What a wonderful verse this is. Here's another of those verses that's worthwhile printing out and putting on your mantelpiece and looking at every day. Psalm 78, verse 53. And he led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. What a golden verse that is, isn't it? He led them on like a shepherd. Led them on safely. They didn't fear. But the sea overwhelmed their enemies. God dealt with those that were against them. All they had to do was follow in faith. And the Lord was their leader and their protector. And he dealt with the others. Our Lord Jesus says, have faith in God. That's the sum of it, isn't it? Faith will be challenged. Faith must be exercised. But faith will be vindicated. And may this example help us to go and do likewise by God's grace and for his glory. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.